Hello again, Wardville Community Church. It's Monday, September 19th, 2022. This is In the Know, episode 56. Handful of announcements. Sunday, September 25th, which will be the next Sunday that we meet together, is going to be our evening service. Remember, it's the first Sunday that starts with a 2 every month. So this Sunday, this coming Sunday night, 5 o'clock, childcare is provided. We will continue going through the book of Galatians together. October 9th, we're having a family meeting right after service. That's going to be a follow-up meeting to update everybody from the September 11th meeting that we had. October 9th also is a baby shower at Shannon Reynolds' house. For Shannon Reynolds at Bonnie Branham's house from 3 to 5 p.m. The Youth Sunday School is continuing to meet at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings in the Red Room upstairs. I still have copies of the book, Praying the Bible, available. And Manna House, as I am speaking, is getting ready to get started for today. Pray for that ministry and consider how you might support that ministry with being part of the regular rotation or being a substitute. You can reach out to me if you're interested in that. Okay, quick sermon follow-up. Two major things. There's three things in the newsletter. There are three things in the newsletter. One of them is my outline that I'm just not going to go through right now. And so I'm going to talk through these other two that are a little lengthy, but they're both lists. The first is a list of one another's in the New Testament. The Greek word for one another is allelon. It is described as a reciprocal pronoun and occurs 100 times in the New Testament. Out of those 100 times, the New American Standard Bible translates it one another 90 of those 100. What we want to look for when we're considering sort of the commands to the church are times that it's used in the context of a command. And so I mean a verb with an imperative mood. So it's, love one another. Like that word love is a verb. That's an imperative verb. And it has that word one another in it. So we'll look for that. Or what we could feasibly imply as a command. So not necessarily having attached to it a verb with an imperative mood, but that like holds up an example to be followed, or in the midst of like a prayer or blessing or a statement of something that is a good thing that we should want. So sort of this should or ought implied within it. In places on this list, if you were to look in the actual newsletter, in places where the ESV doesn't render the word one another, I will stress in some way that word. There, I've made it bold and italicized it. Here, I will just point it out to you. So here are the ones that I came up with, as well as the Bible verses. And this is going to go pretty fast. But I just want you to hear all of the different ways the Lord commands us toward one another, to live with one another. Okay, wash one another's feet, John 13:14. Now, sorry, I'm going to stop for just a second. We don't do foot washing in our church like that. There are some churches that do. They think that's like a third ordinance of Jesus, like baptism, the Lord's Supper, and washing of feet. We are taking that as representative of a humility that serves others, that counts others more significant than oneself and takes the low path. Like that's kind of what we're thinking about there. So it's not necessarily like a command to get a bucket of water, wrap a towel around you and like dip their feet. Like our feet still smell bad, but they don't get covered and caked with like mud and feces like they did in the first century when Jesus was talking about this. Anyway, so we serve each other in response to that command, wash one another's feet. We do the hard, gross, servant type jobs for one another on each other's behalf. Okay, love one another. Now, this is going to be repeated a number of times in a number of ways, but in the book of John, John 13, 34, and 35, each of those verses uses that, that command, love one another, and then 15, 12, and 17. Like chapter 15, verses 12 and 17 both use love one another. Okay, Romans 12, 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Also Romans 12, 10, outdo one another in showing honor. Romans 12, 16, live in harmony with one another. Romans 14, 13, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. Romans 14, 19, let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. So there in 14, 19, that word one another is translated mutual. You could literally translate it one another upbuilding, but they just supplied a synonym for that to make it make more sense and to smooth it out a little bit. Okay. Romans 15, 5, live in harmony with one another. Romans 15, 7, welcome one another. Romans 15, 14, Paul is saying to them that they are able to instruct one another. So they're not commanded there to do that, but that's one of those places where it's an implied good. There's an ought to it. You're able to, and he doesn't say this, but it's like, so you should instruct one another. Romans 16, 16. And then there's also a handful of other ones that say the same thing. 1 Corinthians 16, 20, 2 Corinthians 13, 12, 1 Peter 5, 14, greet one another with a holy kiss. We don't do that exactly the same way. That's a cultural thing. Some Spanish-speaking countries do this. That's fine. We're not that. We give a high five. We give a fist bump. We give a handshake. We give a hug. And in so doing, we are fulfilling the spirit of that. It's this warm, affectionate sign of welcome and friendship and care for one another. So like, that's what he's getting at there. There's nothing more spiritual about kissing someone's cheek than there is pulling them close and giving them a slap on the back as you hug them. Okay, in his instructions on the Lord's Supper, in 1 Corinthians 11, 33, Paul says, wait for one another. Don't go ahead and don't get drunk and don't get full while other people are going hungry. Wait for each other. Eat together. Okay, Romans 15. Oh, my eyes keep going to that one. I'm going to move it out of the way on my computer screen. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, 25. He says something like that there will be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So again, not exactly a command, but an implied ought, good, like a good that we should strive for. Galatians 5, 13. Through love, serve one another. In Galatians 5, 15, he gives a negative command. If you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Galatians 5, 26, another negative command. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Galatians 6, 2, bear one another's burdens. Ephesians 4, 2, bear with one another in love. Ephesians 4:25, speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another. Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he goes on after that to talk about the different ways that that looks in the household of God. Count others. So there's a place where it could be a one another, but the ESV chose the word others. Count others more significant than yourselves, Philippians 2, 3. Do not lie to one another in Colossians 3, 9. bearing with one another and forgiving each other, Colossians 3:13. Abound in love for one another, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, he talks about you have been taught by God to love one another. In 4:18 of 1 Thessalonians, encourage one another. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build one another up. In 1 Thessalonians 5:15, always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. The love of every one of you for one another is increasing. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Again, an example that implies an ought. It should be increasing. That's a good thing. We want that. Titus 3:3. He talks about that before we came to know Christ, we were hated by others and hating one another. So there's like a negative implied command. These do not and should not mark the spirit indwelt people of God. That's Titus 3:3. Hebrews 10:24. I read this one yesterday. Consider how to stir one another to love and good works. So sit there and think about people and think of like real people, not just like the church in general, but real people in your church. Sit and think about and use your God-given imagination to devise ways that you could stir them up to love. And like I said, so that their love doesn't grow cold. I've got to find my place now. Okay. Do not speak evil against one another, James 4:11. Do not grumble against one another, James 5:9. Confess your sins to one another, James 5:16. Pray for one another, James 5:16. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, 1 Peter 1:22. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, 1 Peter 4:9. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, 1 Peter 5:5. Then in 1 John 1:7, he says, we have fellowship with one another. And again, there's an implied should. That's a good thing. We should want it. It ought to be a result of believing the gospel rightly, that we should have fellowship with one another. And then finally, love one another. Once again, 1 John 3:11 and 23, 1 John 4:7, 11 and 12, and then 2 John 5. So on this list, I counted 41 commands, some of which are repeated several times in different ways. I've heard that there may be as many as 52 one another commands in the New Testament, depending on how you count. Clearly, this is an important concept in the New Testament. Our lives are not to be lived in rugged individualism apart from care and concern for others. We are interdependent. We are dependent on the Lord and interdependent with His people. We're not interdependent with the Lord. He doesn't depend on us. We depend fully on Him. And that creates this web of interdependent relationships on His people. These are loving instructions from our Father, wherein He teaches us what He wants life to be like within His family, and wherein He governs what love toward Him looks like. Like that's obedience to His commands. If you want to demonstrate your love for your Heavenly Father, you'll obey these commands along with other ones that are in the New Testament. Many of the things that I said yesterday when I was talking about the joy that we pastors feel over your obedience were real life things that I have seen you all do to express your devotion to God and to His people. So let me just tell you, keep it up. Continue those demonstrations of love toward God and others. Continue to walk in love and truth. And as you read some of these that you realize maybe you don't do well or haven't done well, repent and ask for help to love your church well. Okay, so let's talk about 25 tangible ways to love your church family. I did this back in March 2021 when we were in Genesis 4 talking about Cain and Abel, and when he asks the question, am I my brother's keeper? We found that there was enmity where there should have been covenant. And in the church, Jesus restores this sense of covenant where there ought to have been enmity. And covenant is an agreement at the level of the soul that says, in effect, I solemnly vow to give myself to you and my life for you to see to your spiritual and physical well-being. So with that in mind, here are some ways to see to the well-being of your church family. Number one, walk closely with the Lord and ask God to produce deeper love in you for the other members of our church. That's the only way you'll really actually have an increased love for, affection toward, and allegiance to these people. God delights to produce these things in us. Paradoxically, you begin loving your church better by praying for yourself and being in the best spiritual condition possible so that you can effectively serve your church family. Number two, join a life group. Be an engaged member. Offer even to host life group. Number three, be consistent in attending on Sunday mornings. Get here early and hang around afterward. Number four, start giving or consider increasing your giving and do that according to your ability. So let me just tell you, there's no shame, no guilt here. God sees and knows your ability, and what is sacrificial for one person may not be sacrificial for another. So you get before God and you ask Him to help you know what your giving should look like, and then be obedient to walk that out. Number five, volunteer to help on a regular basis in a ministry, or start a ministry if you think one is needed. Number six, introduce yourself to someone you don't know. Ask about his or her story. Number seven, invite people over for dinner just to get to know them. Number eight, invite someone you don't know out for coffee. Number nine, bring groceries or a meal to someone. This is a point I really want to encourage our church. We do a great job of this. Thank you for the way that you walk these things out. And like I said earlier, just keep it up. Keep doing those things. Those are good, helpful, right things. Number 10, buy a gift card and or a gift for somebody. Number 11, send someone a letter or card just to let him or her know you prayed for him or her. Number 12, ask someone how you can pray for him or her. Then pray and follow up on that prayer request a handful of times. Maybe even pray with that person out loud. 13, and here's one that actually will benefit you as well. Not that any of these don't benefit you, but ask someone to mentor you or teach you the Bible and then genuinely listen to you, to them. Believe it or not, this expresses love to those who are eager to mentor people and gifted to teach the Bible, but don't find themselves with an opportunity to do so. Number 14, pray for your elders. Let them know you're praying for them and ask how you can pray for them. Number 15, pick a ministry in our church and commit to pray for it for a specific period of time. Ask that ministry leader how you can come alongside him or her and pray for the ministry efforts. 16, write a thank you note to someone for anything, however big or small, that they did that encouraged you, even if it was just a smile in the hall or on Sunday morning, or maybe a face that someone made while leading worship. Don't let encouragement, like in light of yesterday, spurring one another on toward love and good deeds, don't let any encouragement fail to be expressed in some way. Like if the Spirit wells up encouragement towards someone in you, get it out somehow. Number 17, park far away from the door, even if you're the first one in the parking lot that morning. People may not see this act of service, but you aren't in it to please them. God sees, and as Christ tells us, He rewards what is done in secret. Number 18, pick up trash on the ground or in the bathroom that you didn't put there. Once again, this isn't the visible act for others, but God sees your love. Number 19, give someone a hug, handshake, high five, and then offer them a specific encouragement. 20, send a Bible verse and a text message to encourage someone you think of while reading the Bible. 21, offer to babysit someone's kids for free so they can go on a date or just get out of the house. 22, sit close to a family during worship and help him in their kids. Him in their kid, like keep them in. Him and their kids, it just sounds like a one word. Him, their kids, in. Maybe it's a better way to say it. 23, adopt a college student or a young adult and regularly feed him or her, buy him or her a gas card, send care packages, pray for that person, and then celebrate the academic success or other successes that he or she has. 24, make a habit of speaking well of our church. Not disingenuously, like we're not looking to propagandize people about our church, but honestly and then intentionally focus on our church's strengths. Invite friends to church. And this serves to encourage us all to see and minister to new faces. 25, call or visit a homebound member of our church. And 26, here's just one extra. This is my lanyap. Give the benefit of the doubt to people in your church. If you misunderstand something they say, assume the best rather than the worst motives about them. Ask for clarification if necessary, so that you don't harbor resentment or false assumptions about your brothers and sisters. And while I'm kind of talking about this concept of covenant, the elders have actually been talking about having a recovenanting ceremony before we move into next year or at the beginning of next year. If you want to read our church's covenant, you can see it. There's a link that I provided at the bottom. You can click on that link. I'm planning to take some of the newsletter time in the coming weeks and devote it to explaining our covenant, kind of reading it part by part, and then talking about the why behind a church covenant. So be looking out for that. Have a great week. I love you, people.